I'm DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Forgotten 45 show on the Radio Thrift Shop. Steely Dan with Ricky Don't Lose That Number, which is definitely an homage to Horace Silver and Song for My Father. Well, this is DJ Frederick. It's time to spark up the lava lamp and come on a musical journey deep into the world of 45s, 7-inch vinyl singles that spin at 45 RPM. I've got no genre, no agenda. We're just playing 45s that have been released from the 1950s to the present. This is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Forgotten 45 show on Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org.
I just can't take this hurt and pain from you. I gotta sit right down and think about starting anew. I just can't take this hurt and pain from you. I gotta stop this moaning and groaning, I'm feeling bad too. Let me be, set me free. Let me go, now I know it's the end, we'll be friends. Hear me sigh, it's goodbye.
Band from Finland called Wigwam, and a tune called True Confessions, released on the Imperial record label back in 1969. And before that, from 2018, we heard the Grip Sweats with the Grip Sweats theme, released on Coal Mine Records. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you are tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop, digging deep into musical delights from the past century. A recorded sound.
Yesterday, the Washington Post published an excellent commentary by my good friend Sharon Steitler, a ranger with the National Park Service, about what it feels like to get furloughed. Sharon is funny and insightful and an excellent writer. She articulated the frustration I see in other federal workers, too. Back in the 70s, Russ and I were in the Fisheries and Wildlife Department at Michigan State. As we reached the end of our college years, back when lots of corporations were actually recruiting, the ones who took their jobs with the EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the National Parks and National Forest System were committed to public service, trying to clean up the air and water we all need and to protect endangered species and the critical habitat wildlife and we depend on. Everyone I know who took one of these jobs was thrilled, even those who had alternatives that would have paid much better. I'd taken lots of classes, both as an undergrad and graduate student, in Shakespeare and the various zoology disciplines, entomology, herpetology, mammalogy, and especially ornithology, because I wanted to be a great elementary school teacher, helping my students learn about the world they lived in and have a rich enjoyment of the arts as well. I was trying to give them the tools to lead happy lives. As someone who came out of a Catholic elementary school education myself, the concept of vocation was strong in me. The vast majority of my own teachers had been nuns who had taken a vow of poverty and worked for no pay whatsoever. Our few lay teachers were paid pretty much at the poverty level themselves. It's easy to ridicule Catholic and public schools from back then for all kinds of things, but considering that Russ and I lived in a blue-collar suburb of Chicago and that virtually none of the kids we knew had parents who had gone to college, we both ended up with darned good educations. Russ went to public elementary school, and we both went to public high school, where our teachers were paid better than Catholic school teachers, but not nearly as much as they'd have made doing jobs in the private sector. Again, they took their job as a vocation. Our high school teachers did go on strike once in 1968 or 69. They needed reasonable benefits and were willing to fight for them, but they were happy to work for enough. I grew up knowing that reaching for the stars had to do with trying to achieve things that brightened people's lives or improved the environment that we all need. Russ and I knew we'd always need to earn enough money to pay our bills and be able to afford a few lovely experiences in life. But part of wisdom is knowing when you have enough. Sharon Steitler articulated that in her Washington Post piece, quote, "None of us took our jobs to get rich. We are public servants who love what we do. We are incredibly frustrated that we can't do a fair day's work for a fair day's pay," end quote. I should have known better than to read the comments on her piece. Most readers were warm and supportive, but a few told her to find a real job, and some even took her words about her job being a vocation to imply that she must be some sort of trust fund baby, which she most assuredly is not. Where have we descended as a society when acquiring money is the top goal of so many people? I grew up with the story of Jonas Salk, who developed his polio vaccine at public expense and gave the patent to the American people. He was a scientist by vocation, and he knew what it meant to have enough. Now scientists working for pharmaceuticals and their CEOs and shareholders gouge people for critical life-saving drugs, most of which were developed via grants paid for by the very taxpayers they're now so egregiously overcharging. I've heard from people who've been at park events led by Sharon Steitler. She's knowledgeable and fun, exuding the kind of energy and passion we see in people focused on doing their best in a true vocation. I've also watched my husband, a scientist who has dedicated his career at the EPA, doing the best science to form the foundation of fair and reasonable regulations to protect our safe, drinkable water supply. When we dismiss federal workers as unnecessary and claim that if they don't like being political pawns, they should go get a real job, we're essentially telling the college students of today and tomorrow that money is the only value and that only a fool or lazy person would take a job with the federal government. I liked being able to trust that the birds and other wildlife I love, birds that belong to every one of us, and that the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the water we drink are safe now and into the future. I want the children of today and tomorrow to have the same kinds of wonderful experiences in our national parks that my own children had. As our population grows and people crave more time with nature, our national parks should be expanding apace, not shrinking and becoming ever more commercial, and our food, air, water, and wildlife ever more urgently need to be protected, not politicized. Government is supposed to protect these things for everyone. Every one of us, whether we acknowledge it or not, depends on the excellence of government workers. It's time to recognize this. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
Sunday, oh yeah, it's Sunday.
The Sunshine Company, It's Sunday. And before that, Ellen Margulis with a tune called Meditation from 1968. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and we're meditating on 45 RPM singles, 7-inch vinyl, here on the Radio Thrift Shop.
From the sun, before a new day has begun. Stay here with me in the moonlight shade, for in the light I'm afraid.
Hold back the sun.
We don't want to
hold back the sun.
We won't let you
ever
the dawn, and make this night go on and on. For in the light of a new day, things may look different some way. So please stay.
Hold back the sun.
We don't want to
hold back the sun.
We don't want to
Exploring Science and the Sea. Chesapeake Bay appears to be coming back from the dead a little earlier these days. In particular, dead zones in the southern part of the bay are ending earlier than they have in the last few decades. That could mean that efforts to protect the bay are paying off. Chesapeake Bay is the largest estuary in the United States and is home to hundreds of species of fish, shellfish, birds, marine mammals, and sea turtles. It spans more than 200 miles from Maryland south to Virginia. It covers about 4,500 square miles, and it's fed by more than 150 major rivers and streams across several states. Those waterways carry runoff from farms and cities, including fertilizers and other compounds. In late spring, those chemicals feed blooms of algae. When the algae die, they sink to the bottom and decay, consuming oxygen. When there are enough algae, they use up all or most of the oxygen in parts of the bay, creating dead zones. Fish and shellfish die, and so do plots of seagrass, which provide hiding places and feeding grounds for many creatures. For decades, the dead zones have persisted into late summer. But according to a recent study, over the last few years, the zones have revived a little earlier over parts of the bay, from the Potomac River southward. Government regulations and volunteer efforts have aimed at trying to improve the waters of Chesapeake Bay for years, and this new study suggests they may be starting to work, cleaning up a large estuary on the East Coast. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
There'll be no strings to bind your hands,
not if my love can't bind your heart.
And there's no need to take a stand,
for it was I who chose to start. I from me. Maybe the sun's light will be dim, and it won't matter anyhow. If morning's echo says we've sinned, well, it was what I wanted now. And if we're victims of the night, stay with me. Through the years of a day, of years.
Dusty grooves there from a band called Cimarron, the tune called Rings. Before that, Evie Sands with the first recording of Angel of the Morning from 1967. And we started off with a band called The Scarecrow from 1968 and Hold Back the Sun. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. I'm doing radio old school, just a man and a microphone and a few scratchy 45s. No website, no Facebook, just the airwaves coming into your ears, and hopefully you do enjoy. Fairport Convention, Bob Dylan tune, I'll Keep It With Mine. And before that, on the little-known No Mountain record label from Texas, a 45 by Will and James Ragar called Forever.
What's it like to be a volunteer doing field work on a scientific expedition? Well, put on some earphones and have a listen. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
And as we look for the Avalonian sea stars, we have to look underneath rocks and even underneath the golden rockweed, which is a seaweed growing on almost everything. And so you can't just look on the surface. You have to move things around and search in all the crevices.
Ariane Pregenzer is a member of an Earthwatch team on Catalina Island off the coast of Los Angeles, California. She's working with field biologist Vivian Kim to survey the ecosystem of the island's intertidal zone, the area of coastline between high and low tide.
The terrain here is very rocky, and all the rocks are covered with little barnacles, which are called pink thatched barnacles. And then the little tiny white ones that are called either common acorn barnacles or buckshot barnacles.
Well, this is what field biology is like. After gathering information, volunteers' observations get entered into a database that informs the questions that scientists are asking, which might relate to climate change, land use, or the survival of an ecosystem.
Oh, there are some owl limpets here. Temperature, do we have a temperature?
I'm going to get that as soon as you guys get started.
Okay, a salinity vertical transect. We're on the 10 meter.
Yes.
How long is your transect to the water's edge? It's basically 5 meters.
5 meters?
Mm-hmm.
Our thanks to Earthwatch. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
Thank you. green-eyed lady, lovely lady, strolling slowly towards the sun. Green-eyed lady, ocean lady, soothing every raging wave that comes. Passion's lady, dressed in love, she lives for life to be. Green-eyed lady feels like I never see, setting suns and lonely lovers free. We'll be right back.
Green-Eyed Lady with Sugarloaf. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Forgotten 45 Show on the Radio Thrift Shop. I want to say thank you for listening, and wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, because we need to take good care of ourselves in these times. Take good care of your community, whomever and wherever your community is. And remember to take good care of all of those that you love.